Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live and local.
The Three Amigos.
This is The Three Amigos with Rudy Ortiz, Brandon Santiago, and Victor Zaragoza on 95.7 The Game. Now, here they are, The Three Amigos.
A big good afternoon.
There we are.
Man, I was running in here to the studio. What, did they get off a little early today?
I think they did, man. They had me running until I got a little
drip
of sweat.
But then again, it's already 12 o'clock, and usually we start at 12. So.
Right. So
yeah, we start
right
at 12. Oh, that's why. Okay.
You know, Latinos, we're usually late, bro. I'm never on time.
I'm trying to break the stereotype, Vic. All right, but you saw
you
me
was
running.
The latest one.
I was literally running down the street,
dude. I was running down the hallway, and on my underwear, but right. My shorts were falling down. I was like, "Good Lord, were they off already?"
Yeah, man. Hey, okay. Time is relative to Latino folks, man. It's all, you know.
And then the big man should not be running. I'll tell you that much.
Yo, let me tell you something.
You just glide. You weren't running. You were gliding.
Is that what he was?
I wouldn't call it gliding, bro. It was more like bouncy.
There we go.
I know you're trying to be nice.
Find a happy balance. I like that.
It's Christmas spirit. He's trying to be nice. I saw you look like he was bouncing.
I was bouncing, dude. I ain't going to lie, man. But anyway, good afternoon. Happy Saturday. It's still, you know, we're still in the season of Christmas.
Yeah, so yes, sir.
Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Hope everyone had a great Christmas.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Yesterday.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Everything that's coming around the corner. You know, much love and
happy Valentine's Day.
Why not? It's Valentine's Day every day.
Yes, yeah, sir. Oh, nice. I love you guys.
All the thugs right now are going, shut up. So that is not happening, man. But anyway, you got Brandon Santiago, Rudy Ortiz, and yours truly, Big Daddy Victor Zaragoza. We are the Three Amigos. We'll be on till 3 o'clock, three solid hours. We got a little bit of everything, man. We got the Warriors, of course, are still looking good. Big shout out going out to Steinmetz and Dickinson for always holding it down every Saturday.
Love their show.
Little basketball talk right there. So, you know, we'll get into that a little bit later.
Definitely.
Of course, Raiders, Niners, and anything else we want to jump on. And, you know, there's just so many things going on. But first, how was your Christmas, Mr. Santiago?
Great Christmas. Me and Rudy were talking about it on the way up here on the elevator. A lot of pasteles and tamales.
Oh,
and a little bit of empanada, some of those congondules. Just a lot of great food, man. Just really good food, a lot of family. I didn't get anything for Christmas, but that's okay.
It's okay.
That's not what it's about.
You got food, man.
There it is.
You got shelter, you good.
I gained 15 pounds in a night. I think that was
I got you beat by 2 pounds, dude.
You think so?
I gained 17 pounds easily, bro.
The moment I woke up, I was eating. The moment I went to sleep.
Same thing, empanadas. Pasteles, then of course the traditional, you know, tamales that we had.
Oh, yeah,
my goodness.
I won't even tell you what I had my mom make me. I'm going to tell you. Anyway.
You got to let us know.
I got to tell you. And people are going to be looking at the radio like, what the heck? I wanted to be different.
Okay.
I just wanted, because I've heard, you know, because not I've heard, I've actually eaten them. There's mole tamales,
yes.
You know, they're made with chicken. Tamales that are made with pork.
Mm.
Tamales that are, you know, the sweet tamales.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's so many different things that you could put in there. I mean, you name it, just about anything could be put in there. I've even seen bean tamales before. They put beans and cheese up in there. I have never, ever, ever seen, and I'm going to use the American word instead of the Mexican word because Mexican word, it sounds weird if I say weenie, but I have never seen a hot dog in a tamale.
Oh.
So I'm like, it could be done.
No, you didn't,
I don't see why not.
I do.
Was it a hot dog or a hot link? Because there's a difference.
Okay, it wasn't a hot link.
Okay.
It was a hot dog, but it wasn't your regular Oscar Mayer hot dog.
Okay, I was going to say.
It was more of the foo-foo type. You know,
there we go.
What is it, Sags?
Okay, Sags.
That's good. That's good hot dog.
But it is a hot dog slash sausage, I guess you can say.
Okay.
But it is a hot dog.
Yeah, a sausage
first of all, my mom and all my cousins, you know, my girl cousins, they all get together, you know, early in the morning at my mom's house. And, you know, they're making tamales and everything. They looked at me crazy like, you better just step out of here now. And I was serious. I wanted to try it.
Dude, so if I was your mom, I might have had to pull your Mexican card right there. I would have been like, look at this bougie man asking me for a weenie hot dog.
Well, no, a Sag sausage hot dog.
A Sag sausage,
right,
exactly.
Rudy, get it right.
Well, but bottom line is, she actually got it. She cut one in half. She puts half a slice in one with cheese, half a slice in the other with cheese. These are
going
to be on the side of the pot just for you, mijo.
Wow.
And only you get to touch it. Only you get to eat it. Boy, was I hurting later.
Yeah, well, yeah, bad, man.
But it actually wasn't that bad.
It actually doesn't sound that bad.
I'm intrigued right now. I'm intrigued.
I wanted to be different. That's all. And
switch it up.
And you're right. She almost pulled my Mexican card.
But that's all right.
Ay, mijo. I bet she gave me that like, ay, mijo.
Yeah, boy.
Like, if I see another tamal, I'm going to spontaneously.
How many did you have?
I must have had like 25 nice. Over the last 48 nice. Hours.
I can tell.
And that's not, and that was me holding back.
I can tell.
That was me holding back. I'm retaining a lot of masa weight. I'm retaining a lot of water weight, all this stuff, man.
You look masoso.
Yeah.
Masoso. Yeah. I was trying to look for the right word here.
It was just one of those Christmases, man. It was just where you just have a stack of tamales. And you know what else I did see? And you guys are going to be proud of me for this. You know what I went to go watch? I went to go watch Star Wars.
Oh, did
and
you?
Nice. Like, well I've never done, seen a Star friend. Wars in my life.
Oh,
but
really?
But I went to go watch this one. So what I did
Explain
is
so
I
much.
Went on YouTube and I just checked up like a bunch of clips
right,
and just
Rudy.
To kind of like game myself up and okay. see what the story was all about. I got it. I had the story unlocked. I went to go watch it and I'm ready for the next one.
You
it
like
was
it?
That good. You know, it was like that it? Good. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, our producer, Javier Mata, he actually tweeted this out the other day. He said, am I the, I know I'm going to paraphrase this. It's not the exact words, but it comes something to this. Am I the only person in the world that has 0.00000001% chance of going to see Star Wars?
Or yes, you are, Hav.
You know, he tweeted, I'm like, really, dude? How can you not want to go see Star Wars?
That's why your pants
are
so
little. It was pretty cool, right? He got the Luke Skywalker.
I mean, I'm aggressive. When people don't like Star Wars, I get angry, all right?
He got the Luke Skywalker pants.
Yeah, right? Man.
No, but it was worth
the Yoda
it.
Pants on.
I know there's we're like a rare breed, people that have never seen any Star Wars, but I'm telling you guys, as one of those dudes, go out there and check it out. It's definitely worth it. And I saw it in 3D, too.
Oh, really?
So that was even cooler. Nice. Yeah, so I'm ready for episode 8.
Saw the IMAX, man. That was epic. Yes. I felt like I was in the Millennium Falcon.
Right?
Crazy.
Didn't it feel like it? Yeah. Me and Chewbacca were just chilling.
One correction, man. My pops just texted me. Somebody did give me something. My dad got me a blanket. All right, my dad got me a blanket. So there you go, Pops. Good.
There you go. What's that character in the Peanuts that has a blanket everywhere? Is it Linus?
Linus, right?
They're
Linus.
Oh,
Linus. I've been called a lot worse. Let me tell you something. I've been called a lot worse.
And that's
so.
From your wife.
There it is.
There you go, right there.
How was yours, Vic? How was your Christmas, man? It was good overall.
Wait, somebody just hit us up on the text line here. It says. Hot dog tamal is a tamal de gringo.
Boom. They're calling you out, Vic.
Bay sports fan. You crazy. We Latinos never too late, fool. This is true that in our time, we're never too late.
Yeah, of course.
In the 510, someone put, we do chili cheese hot link tamales.
See?
I got to hang out with you.
That sounds
really good right there.
That sounds
See, because I, like I said, I've seen refried beans with cheese and a tamal. So now you just add a hot link.
Right.
Ta-da.
Oh, my God. Okay. Forget my last comment about tamales. I want one of those now.
What about for some fries and some tamales? You put some chili cheese fries?
Now, I don't know. Now we're kind of thinking outside the box right now.
Is that too much?
We're thinking outside the pot at this point. Well, right? That might be a little too much.
That was nice. Right? I'm thinking outside
I'm good. Well
done. You got to make a shirt like
I'm
that.
I'm going to
think outside the pot.
Nice.
But anyway, bottom line, so we can get into sports here. Christmas was good. Family
awesome.
Is blessed. Family is healthy.
Beautiful,
everyone's
man.
Good.
All that Merry Christmas to everybody out there. You know, we hope everyone got a chance to spend time with their loved ones. And if you didn't, you're our thoughts and prayers, but yeah, absolutely. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Likewise.
For the last 7 minutes, listeners are going, how the hell they let these guys on the road?
Why?
They're all hungry right now. That's what it is. They're all exactly. They're turning on the Food Network.
What's a tamale?
But anyway, let's go ahead and get to sport. We got a little bit of everything that we're going to be talking about. We got Michael Wagerman is going to come on with us at the bottom of the hour, senior writer for the Silver and Black Illustrated, nice. Longtime freelance reporter for the Associated Press. So, of course, we're going to talk a little Raider Nation with him.
Big win.
You know, big win on Thursday, my son and I, my brother, we were there. The family was there. A lot of friends and family. You know, and when it comes down to a rivalry game, I guess we can call it a rivalry because it is in the AFC West. And it was hella cold.
Right. You know,
so when it went into overtime, I was like, really?
Yes.
I was like, I was
there early in the morning, Vic, for the tailgate and it started hailing.
Really?
Yes.
No
ice
way.
Falling from the sky.
Wow.
Yeah, it felt like I was under all the 49er fans' tears for this season. That's kind of what it
Coming
felt like.
Coming from a 49er fan, that's funny.
But I'm just glad it was raining to cover my own tears coming down my face.
But during the game, it was so cold. But anyway, let's get back to the game because that was really a Charles Woodson type
that was
of
awesome.
Day. So,
yeah.
You know, let us throw a quick shout out going out to number 24, Charles Woodson. Thank you for everything that you brought to the Absolutely. Silver Black again.
Yes.
You know, definitely Hall of Famer. I mean, you know, he started
without
his
a doubt. First
you know,
ballot.
From Michigan, you know, go blue. It hurts for me to say that because I'm an Ohio State right. fan. But, you know, and then end up with the Raiders and then taking off to, you know, Green Bay for yeah. a little while. It's like, you know, he broke up, had to go with the other girl for a little while, but then he broke up with her, came back to the ex. Yep. And it was a lovely, it was yeah. lovely relationship here. But thank you for everything that he put on the table here.
Without a doubt.
You know, he left it all out there. I hate to even call him the old man of the NFL, but for NFL standards, he's an old man.
Yeah,
he's
like, definitely.
He's what, 10 years younger than me, you right. know, but when it comes to the NFL, he's done his time, 18 solid wow. strong years.
Wow.
Thank you and congratulations, man. I mean, you know, what more can I say? I've gotten him to many clubs, by the way, when he first got
nice,
here.
Nice.
Because, yeah, when, you remember, I used to work for the Raiders right, and right, I was right, still right. in radio, so, yeah, a lot of party time.
Hey, you know, the fact of the matter is, Vic, I think people just really, and I'm sure everybody realizes this, but it's nice to take a step back and really look at the fact that this is one of the most highly decorated football players oh, of all time.
From collegiate level all the way up to
from
the
from a high school yeah. level. We're talking about a wow. guy who won, yeah. you know, Mr. Ohio, Mr. Yep. All-State high school football yep. player, and then every other possible award you can possibly think of, maybe other than MVP for the NFL.
Right.
But, I mean, if you all the things that he's
yeah,
achieved.
Yeah, defensive MVP, though.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All the things that he's achieved throughout his entire career, one of the most highly decorated players. And it really was a privilege to watch him play for two great organizations, the Raiders and the Packers, and a true legend, a real true legend in right there on the field for us to watch.
And, Vic, you said he's a you know, old player for sure. He's 38 years old. You know, technically he's out of his prime. But the funny thing is, I don't know if you heard Charles, but he said, physically, I can still play. Mm-hmm. Physically, if I wanted to play for a couple more years, I'm good. It's just the mental part wasn't there. He doesn't yeah. have he doesn't have the wherewithal to stay in that grind, that 16 game grind starting in August, and now, you know, NFL players start so early on. So it's just amazing to see an athlete take such great care of his body to yes. say, you know what, physically I'm okay. I'm not quitting because I can't do this anymore. I'm quitting because I don't have that same passion for the game. So that's a perfect time to leave. And what a better send off than to win in the black hole, and I hate to say this, but in potentially the last game in Oakland, just you couldn't have written the story better than that.
You right. know, it's funny when you say the physical part though, Santi, because he really showed us at the end his real toughness. I think that's one of the greatest stamps that he could have put on his career, playing with the injured right shoulder yeah. for the latter part of the season and just toughing it out.
Playing
well on the field, even with that injury. I mean, it just really speaks that right there to me, really just wrapped up and tied up the entire character of Charles Woodson. That toughness that came with all the accolades, but at the end of the day, just a real tough character for the Raiders.
And there might not be another player that's more beloved by two different franchises Very than true. Charles Woodson. Because the Green Bay Packers think of him as one of their own, and they love him. And Raider Nation, we know he is one of us,
well,
and we love
get
him.
A ring over there.
Exactly.
Too, so I mean,
defensive MVP. And, you know, right. I think Ted Thompson said he might have been the greatest, besides Reggie White, who he said he was, the greatest free agent they ever signed in Green Bay. That's saying
That's
something
huge.
For a storied franchise like Green Bay.
Now, before I start getting hit on my phone left and right, Victor, what do you know? Because a lot of people know I got a lot of insight with the Raider organization. This is just me thinking out loud, yeah. only from what I see from Charles Woodson, knowing him for years. I really do believe it. I'm not calling him a liar. I'm not starting the rumors. I'm not saying anything. I look at totally the opposite of what he says. Mm. Only because of the way he's been injured and the way he's been playing all year long. It's better for him to say, oh, physically, I'm still good. Just mentally, blah. I think it's the other way around. I think mentally he could. I just think physically it's starting to take a major yeah. toll on him. And it showed. A lot of games, just a regular tackle. Has taken him to the sideline, and I've seen him pulling on his arm like
yeah.
he popped it out of socket.
Right.
And I think if he was to open his mouth now and say, well, you know, I may need surgery, I think the NFL may step in, and you know, because they protect their guys.
Right.
Like, wait a minute, if you're that injured, you shouldn't be playing.
Right.
He wants to finish the season. And again, I respect it. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm not calling him a liar, but I just see it totally different because I've been around the NFL players for a long time and seeing this, I just think it's the other way around. And I respect it. And he's got two beautiful kids as well. Yep. I don't know if he's got more than that, but I know the
so
two boys.
That
was funny. You know, he wants to make sure that he can still pick them up and play around
absolutely.
With them.
Absolutely.
You know, so I get it.
That's
I totally
right.
get it.
Yeah.
So it's just right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And he's a great guy. He's a humble man. So, again, thank you for everything that he
absolutely,
brought
to us. Absolutely,
man. That was definitely, man.
You know, so.
It was an honor to watch.
Oh, no, it was great to watch. You know, but. I would have never put him in that offensive play.
That was bad. That was
like,
bad.
Really?
Dude.
Really?
That
like,
was
really?
Bad.
You know, you just want to revive a little bit of that old Seawood.
Give him something
from
he
Michigan.
Can do, though. Don't give him the ball 18 yards behind the line of scrimmage. with an offensive line that was playing terrible that night.
That was a little curious.
That was a little curious. Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put
so
it.
So he retires with negative yards.
Wow.
But a positive impact.
Okay, there you go.
One carry averaging negative 0.3, 0.5 yards.
What about on that play? Manti Te'o try to, you know, beef up on him. You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Charles Woodson, I didn't see it, but he threw a little kick. But
good.
It's a veteran move.
He was trying to kick the girlfriend.
That's all it is. Hey, Manti will never live that down. I just knew there was a girlfriend comment coming because that's who he is.
I'm waiting for Manti Te'o to be on an episode of Cheaters.
Or Catfish. He was the guy.
888-957-9570 on the text line 95795. Give us your thoughts on number 24, Charles Woodson, and the silver and black. We want to thank him, of course, and give him all the love. And can we actually call him a GOAT in his position? He played two different positions. I say yes, but we get deeper into that. But Raider Nation, hit us up. It's the Three Amigos on 95.7, The Game.
KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. KUFX HD2 San Jose.
Send wherever you are at 957thegame.com. The Game. You're listening to The Three Amigos with Zaragoza, Santiago, and Ortiz on 95.7 The Game.
It was time. I just, for some reason, I had this epiphany, man, the morning before the Detroit Lions game. And I'm not sure what it was, but some said it was time, man. And I knew it in that instant, man, that it was over.
My man Charles Woodson putting it down right there for the Oakland Raiders. 18 solid years, number 24. Will always be remembered as the silver and black. No disrespect to the cheeseheads out there, but, you know, it's just he's a great player for us.
Absolutely.
You know, bottom line, great player for us. You know, I had an epiphany once, too.
Once? Really?
Yeah, once.
Nice.
Yeah,
did it hurt?
Then the nightclub closed and I had to say,
this guy.
Boom, boom. I'm working on my jokes, Rudy.
That
working
was good.
On my jokes.
Yeah. I'm going to write that one down.
Please,
I'm taking that with me.
Take that to the bank.
But anyway, the phone lines are wide open. Raider Nation, 888-957-9570, 95795 is a text line. If you want to speak on Mr. Charles Woodson, what he brought to the table, what he brings to the table, what he is to the organization, can we call him a GOAT, the greatest of all time? Now, for me to say that, you know, I'd have to say, okay, is it going to be as a corner? Or is it going to be as a safety? Because obviously, you know, he came into the league as a corner, moved over to a safety. Or can we just call him the greatest of all time as a defender?
Yeah.
How would you kind of pinpoint that?
I think for me, looking at his sacks and interception numbers, that's unprecedented. No player has accumulated the amount of numbers in both those different categories. To me, he is the greatest player of his position. And I think, like you said, he's a hybrid safety corner. Mm-hmm. And I know that Rod Woodson was also a hybrid safety corner. And those are the two guys that I think played both of those positions at a high level. Those are the two greatest hybrid safety corners of all time, in my opinion. Ed Reed was strictly a safety. You know what I mean? Ronnie Lott was strictly a safety. Those guys played both those positions and they were the best at that position when they were playing both of those positions. So to me, those are the two all-time greatest, you know, whatever you want to call them, G-O-A-T. I dropped out of high school. G-O-A-T hybrid safety corners ever.
You know, I'm not a big fan of comparing players from different eras. Because there's just so many variables that are involved. You always romanticize the era that you witnessed yourself. But you definitely have to take it as an honor just to be involved in the conversation as maybe being the GOAT. And I would most definitely, without a doubt, you definitely throw in Charles Woodson. You're talking about the only player with 50 interceptions and 20 sacks, 65 total interceptions, tied fifth for most all time, second all time with 11 return
pick sixes. Yep.
And then to top it off, though, fellas, I think the part that really kicks it into high gear is the fact that he played at such a high level at the end of his career.
Yep.
That to me is really what rounds this whole thing on. Now, granted, he played safety in the latter part of his career, but he was still able to produce on a very high level. So with that being said, you most definitely have to consider him in the conversation for top five defensive backs of all time. And then that's when it gets a little dicey for me because you start comparing different eras. But just to be involved in that conversation, I think is an honor and it's probably better off that we just, you know, most people are going to compare and go back and forth and argue, and it's a fun argument. But just knowing that Charles Woodson did everything he did, highly decorated, and played at such a high level in the latter part of his career, he's most definitely involved in that conversation for the GOAT. Not one of the GOATs, but actually the conversation for the actual GOAT, the greatest of all time defensive back.
And I'll say this, I think he was maybe the most electrifying defensive back ever. I mean, I know Deion Sanders was great as well, but the fact that Seawood was able
Deion Sanders didn't tackle, though.
That's what I mean,
though. Like about him.
Right. Deion Sanders
he used to get dragged.
Right.
He used to get dragged.
He calls them business decisions. But the thing about the way that he was able to win a Heisman Trophy, you know, his return ability, I think that, you know, definitely him and Deion were maybe the most electrifying cornerbacks or defensive backs with the ball in their hands. Mm-hmm. And I know that Papa was talking about earlier this week that he said that Charles Woodson was such a great player with the ball in his hands that he reminded him of O.J. Simpson. Now, right. Think about that for a second. A defensive back reminded Greg Papa, who we know is a football expert, of one of the greatest running backs of all time. That goes to show you his varying skill set. He was able to carry the ball. You know, when he got a pick, he was able to defend, pass. He can hit. He can tackle. And some of those years in Green Bay, the things he was doing, he was playing, he was playing Troy Polamalu-esque at the line of scrimmage. It was just a really, I loved watching him in Green Bay when he was at his peak and on a great team. He wasn't always on a great team with the Oakland Raiders, but in Green Bay, he was on a great team. And that was awesome.
Santi, let's take those two players, two of the greatest cornerbacks of the last 30 years, I would say.
DBs, yeah.
Who would you take if you had to choose between those two? If you had to take only one of the two, Charles Woodson or Deion Sanders?
I think it depends on the scheme. For me, Deion Sanders can shut an entire side of the field down.
Exactly.
But in today's age, I think that safeties are becoming more important because you have four wide receivers spread out that you need a safety that can play that, you know, that ball hawking position. So right now, if I was starting a franchise, even though I know I'm not, I would take C. Wood. He can do a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of bit of everything.
A lot of everything. 888-957-9570 on the text line 95795 if you want to speak on Mr. Charles Woodson and also the silver and black, what you thought about if you were there at the last game on, Christmas Eve,
yep.
You know, against the San Diego Chargers. It was a great, great game. A little too long for me because it was a little too cold. But other than that, it was great, though. It was a great win more than anything. And then, of course, we'll move on a little bit later because they take on the Kansas City Chiefs the following weekend. From the 669, we have an old friend that hits us up all the time. I had friends, Niner fans, Steeler fans, Patriot fans, hit me up for tickets to go see Charles play. Then I caught them cheering for the Raiders when they scored and won. Everybody wanted to see Charles Woodson win. You know,
wow,
when it comes down like that, of course,
it's beautiful.
When you know, you get respect from just about everybody, you know, in the NFL. So they know what he's given to this and to
right.
the NFL. They know what he's given to the league. He's not just a player that's going out in the sunset. He's an actual staple
there it is.
Of the NFL.
There it is.
You know, so when it's that big, it's actually really, really good. That's a pretty good question right here. Buff from Livermore, what do you guys think? All-time starting backfield, cornerback Deion Sanders, cornerback Champ Bailey, free safety Ed Reed, strong safety Charles Woodson.
That is a hell of a defensive back.
I don't think I would replace anyone. I don't see any holes there. Yeah, any holes.
Champ Bailey might be the only one. Maybe you got
at his prime. At
his prime, he was great.
I mean, you can't go.
Who you gonna put in? DJ Hayden?
You're stupid, DJ Hayden will wipe off the mud of the cleats when he gets to the sideline. I've been watching football for the last 15 years. No, Darrell Revis was a great cornerback. You got to look at some of those older cornerbacks from the Raiders days. I mean, I think Champ Bailey was great, but that's the one. There's a couple of guys I'm thinking of, but that's the one guy that maybe. But the rest of that is without a doubt. Oh my goodness, that is you're not getting the pass completed on you.
Well, I think the thing is, you look at a guy like Charles Woodson, and it's one of the things that really makes him stand out from everybody else is that most of these cornerbacks in the last 30 years, you're looking at them having a window of time where they truly dominated. Charles Woodson, it's hard to compare anybody to him because he had lengths of greatness.
Longevity.
And then he had longevity at the end when he proved in the last couple of years that he could still play at a very high level. So I think a guy like Champ Bailey, I mean, he is... That's more than a formidable cornerback to have opposite of Deion Sanders because he had his window of time where he was the shutdown corner in the NFL.
But was Champ Bailey ever that transcendent defensive back where he, you know, I don't think he was that transcendent type of athlete.
Was Darrell Revis though?
I think you see an athlete who can go to any team and instantly make that secondary the best secondary in the league. That's something we haven't seen. I just threw out the first name that popped into my head. I'm saying there's a couple other corners that I would think would be a little more of a transcendent player at that cornerback position than Champ Bailey. Not to say Champ Bailey wasn't good. He was a great player. But I think if you gave me some time, I'll think about it over the break. There's some couple other DBs that I might put in that position over Champ. But, you know, Ed Reed, Seawood, Darrell Green, there it is, another great cornerback for sure.
Or maybe have Seawood play corner opposite of Deion Sanders and then put Troy Polamalu.
Lester Hayes. I don't know. You know, you got
there's a list of them.
There's a list
so
of
many,
them.
Right?
There's
a list and of that, that's what you get
and
into,
maybe,
you know?
Would you take Seawood? I mean, that's Rod Woodson was a heck of a defensive back,
exactly.
Man. We would like all these guys. It's fun to play this game, but Either way, man, Charles Woodson, he belongs in that conversation. Mm. And that's the thing that is amazing to know that an Oakland Raider defensive back. I mean, we had a lot of great DBs, but it's just great to see him at this time while the Raiders are on the uptick.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Rudy, Brandon, let me ask a stupid question of the day on an early part of the show already. First ballot vote in Hall of Famer, Charles Woodson?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, easily. Maybe one of the biggest shoe-ins for first ballot that we've seen in the last 10, 15 years. He's going to go in, no doubt about it.
And the fact that he played for the Packers and the Raiders, I mean, these two great franchises, to me, the Charles Woodson story has all the elements of an All-American football hero tale. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy won everything. He's proved everything. He's leaving the field. He's leaving everything on the field, and he's walking away on his own terms.
Never got in trouble,
you know?
With all that being said, how many times have we seen players think that they're going to retire and then they come back or they move on to another team, right? I mean, obviously, I'm sure the Raiders wouldn't let him go. I'm sure if he wanted to come back another year, they'd pay him another year. He goes on his own terms. He does great. He's going out the top of the butter here. I mean, it's just smooth right off the top of the butter. You know, and nothing else he can touch from this point forward. Will it be bad for him if he was to come back for one more year? Because remember, they were cheering. I mean, these are the fans, of course. You know, one more year. Mm. One more year. That'd be lovely. That'd be great. Do we say, no, Charles, thank you. Keep walking. Keep moving on. Or do we keep our inner thoughts and say, one more year, buddy, because I think next year we got this.
Well, look, I was at the Raider tailgate.
Because, well, that hurt him, I guess you can say.
Yeah, I think I was at the Raider tailgate on Sunday, and that was like the topic of conversation. The more beers that got cracked open, the more people were talking about, hey, what about one more year, right? But honestly, I look at Charles Woodson. I don't know him personally, but you know, I feel
really?
Like, no, I don't. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him. But no, but I feel like you can tell a lot about a person's character by what you see on the field. And after watching him for almost 20 years play at such a high level, it just seems to me like he's a man of conviction. Right. And I don't think that he's going to make the mistake of pushing his body an extra year just to satisfy some sort of, you know, ego thing or maybe think that, hey, I could squeeze out another season. I think that he's a type of guy that's going to say, you know what, I've pushed myself to the limit, I've done everything, I'm leaving on top of my game, and there's no reason for me to hesitate and turn back. And you know, this is a perfect send-off. I mean, he's leaving beloved and he's leaving on top of his game, and I don't see him turning around to mess that up.
I think that's a great question though, Vic, because if you think about it, in the last 3 years we've seen some of the most iconic athletes retire. We saw Derek Jeter retire a couple years ago. We saw Floyd Mayweather, maybe the most prolific boxer in history of boxing, retire. And we're seeing C. Wood. We also have seen Kobe Bryant take his final swan song. So it's interesting to see all these different athletes and their approaches to retiring. I think if there's an athlete out there that would come back for another year, I do think out of those I just mentioned, it'd probably be Floyd or C. Wood. I can see C. Wood, you know, June or May being like, I still got it. I don't think he is. I'm just saying he's the type of player, because I think his body is in better shape than most athletes when they retire. He's the type of player that if he got that itch mentally, he can scratch it physically. Right. So that's why I would say that he might be the guy that if any of those, I don't think he is. I don't think he should. I think he should. You know what? This is a great send off. It'd be terrible to see him playing the Coliseum next year. I'm not saying they're going to be playing the Coliseum next year. I'm just saying that wouldn't be a good thing. But
Raiders ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, I hope not. But you know, the other player is Kobe Bryant, man. That, look at the parallels in the way great athletes retired. Like, Seawood took the high road. Kobe didn't.
All right, coming up next, we have Michael Wagaman. You can follow him at Twitter at WWagaman. He's a senior writer for the Silver and Black Illustrated and longtime freelance reporter for the Associated Press. And right before we go to break here, says, I will always credit Charles Woodson with one more forced fumble that he got.
There you go.
He won the tuck rule game. Spoken as a true Raider. Yes.
Put an asterisk on that. Hall of Fame. That
right Grr, G-R-R-R.
Michael Wagaman up next with the Three Amigos right here on 95.7 The Game.
This is the Three Amigos with Zaragoza, Santiago, and Ortiz on 95.7 The Game.
Good Saturday afternoon. Yep, welcome back with the Three Amigos, Brandon Santiago.
Yep.
Rudy, what are you doing over here, dude?
Exercising, just, man.
Moving some stuff around.
You trying to work off them tamales.
Playing some soccer. Say, yo, kicking me with a ball, dude.
Didn't mean to do that, Vic.
Anyway, Rudy Ortiz. Hey, yo, it's Julie Big Daddy Victor Saragosa, Three Amigos. We have the pleasure of talking to my man. He is a senior writer for the Silver and Black Illustrated, longtime freelance reporter for the Associated Press. You can follow him at Twitter at MWagaman. We have Mr. Michael Wagaman. Michael, how you doing? Good afternoon.
Good, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Oh, man, we're hanging in
Great
here.
Merry Christmas.
We're about, I don't know, if you combine all the weight together, about, 95 pounds that we have eaten the last couple of days.
Man, I don't even want to get into that.
Thanks, Mike.
How was your Christmas, family and everything? Everyone good?
Man, it was great. I got to spend the day with my son, just watching him open his gifts. You know, that is always the best part of Christmas to me, is watching the younger generation open those gifts and being with your family. And you know, those of us who were able to do that, man, it's just, that's what makes it all worth it. And man, no complaints. And you know, for me, Christmas doesn't start until I hear Jose Feliciano, which is Feliz Navidad. I learned that song when I was in fifth grade, and to me, that is always the signal of Christmas. So my son and I enjoyed that a couple weeks ago. I told him it's officially the start of Christmas season, and it ended last night. Great time to celebrate with the family. Hope everyone out there had just an absolutely fabulous day.
We did, love man. It, thank it, you it. Much, man, and I'm glad the family's good and healthy. Much blessings. Let's get into the team that, of course, we pray every single week that they get a victory here. And then, of course, on Christmas Eve, it was great here at home against San Diego, rivalry in the AFC West. It was Charles Woodson night, and I mean, he did what he did. We've been talking kind of about this right here. We threw around the word, you know, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Yeah. You know, can we put that staple on him now after 18 years as a DB?
You know, it's always hard, I think, when we compare players from generation to generation. The rules change from the, you know, from year to year, it seems, in the NFL. But I don't think that there's, in my opinion, for me, there's not even an argument. Charles Woodson is the greatest defensive back I've ever seen play the game. And I look at the guy who came into the league in 1998 as just this brash, you know, cocky player out of Michigan, the Heisman Trophy winner with a little bit of swagger who didn't even watch film. You know, that was not his thing. He was just so good, natural talent just oozing out of his pores that he didn't need to do that. And now I look at the guy who's, you know, the locker room leader, the guy who's studies film, who's setting the example for the younger players. It's just been an honor, a pleasure to watch him. Charles is not only a class act on the field, but off the field as well. And, you know, if you've ever been able to spend any time with Charles, I mean, you're blessed. I mean, I always enjoyed talking to him. Thought he might stick around for one more year, considering that the Raiders appear to have kind of turned the corner. You know, I thought he might stick around for a playoff run next year. But you know what? He's got two young kids of his own. He spent 18 years in this league, and I can't hate on him for wanting to take some time away and be with his family. So I imagine he'll pop up somewhere, either in the broadcast booth. I wouldn't be shocked to see him return, you know, to the Raiders or another team as a coach. I mean, this guy's just got so much to give in terms of knowledge and everything. And to see the way that he went out, not just with the win, but the way that the Raiders honored him, the fans showed up. They stayed until the very end. Obviously, you know, the game was close enough, but I think that they would have stayed near the very end no matter what the score was, because they wanted to honor Charles. And for him to grab the microphone and be able to share those last few words with the fans, I thought that was very poignant. I'd never seen anything like that ever. You know, a player taking the microphone or the stadium microphone and addressing the crowd. I thought it was just a really special night all the way around. The game was kind of ugly, but, you know, they got the win for him, and he got to go out, at least in Oakland, a winner. And it, you know, it was just the way it should be.
You know, there's something there that caught my attention, Michael. You said, you know, maybe in the broadcast booth, when he was doing the post, they were basically offering him a job, you know, right there at the NFL Network. Said, dude, if you want to come, you just call me. You let me know. And then Charles, well, I have to give, you know, the contract to my attorney. But rumor had it for a couple of weeks already that the NFL Network had somewhat offered him, you know, like, hey, the doors are open. Yeah. If you want it, it is yours without question. So that might be a little truth there.
Yeah, I think that was a preemptive strike by the NFL Network before, you know, let's get to him before anybody else has a chance to talk to him. You know, like I said, Charles is very eloquent. The one thing I love about him, and the one thing that I think will make him a great broadcaster, is that, and in fact, I wrote this, if you don't want the truth, don't ask Charles Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
He has always, from his rookie season on, he cannot help himself but tell the truth in any situation. He's very insightful when he speaks. You know, that's why there's a huge horde of media around him after every game. He's very eloquent when he talks, and he's very succinct. You know, when he's diagramming a play or telling you about something, you know you're getting the absolute truth from him. And that's, you know, he'll tell you the truth whether he makes a mistake or whether it's somebody else making a mistake, and he'll be the same way whether they're having success. I mean, the guy is just, he's got so much knowledge, and I can't wait to see what's next for him. I think if he were to just fade into the shadows and, you know, walk away and go off and be with his family, that would be great for him. But I think the NFL would be missing something. And I think if he's able to come back, whether it's for the NFL Network, Fox, CBS, wherever he goes, he will definitely lend to that broadcast and he will be a big benefit for them.
Mike, as one of the greatest athletes of all time, greatest defensive backs of all time, what do you think his biggest imprint on the game is? You know, we saw him as an electrifying return man. We saw him as somebody who can take a interception to the house. We saw him as somebody who can play every single defensive back position. What do you think his biggest imprint on this generation of defensive backs is?
For me, because you can't replicate what he did on the field. Guys like him, athletically, they don't come around very often. But what I think Charles, when you look, especially this year, and when I talked to several Raiders after he announced his retirement, they were almost in unison on what he, the lessons he brought to them. And to me, it was the way that game after game, you would see him make a hit, pop that shoulder out of place. He'd run off the field, mm-hmm. come right back a play or two later. Mm-hmm. This is a guy in 39 years old, has no reason to still be playing at this level and to sacrifice his body the way he did. And yet, for a team that was out of the playoffs, he gave his all. He gave his body up time and time again. And as one player talked to me about, he said, we got young kids in here who are sitting out 2 and 3 games with a sprained ankle. There's Charles with a dislocated shoulder coming back in every play. That, to me, is the best message he can send to the NFL. You know, if you're going to be out here, you've got to give it your all, no matter what. You've got to sell out for your teammates. And Charles did that week in and week out for the Raiders. He obviously did it for the Green Bay Packers for 7 years. I just, the way he approached the game, his professionalism, the way he evolved as a player, you know, like I said, he was so naturally gifted early on in his career that he could do things without even trying. Mm. You know what I mean? He's just that good. And today's athletes, you know, let's face it, they're spoiled. They get, you know, before this rookie cap came in, these guys were getting just lots of money without even playing a single snap. And that takes your motivation away. Charles has made millions of dollars in this league. He's set for the rest of his life, obviously, and yet he continuously went out there, threw his body, you know, to the wind and gave it his all. And if you have ever spent any time with him as a teammate, you've got to respect that and you've got to take that in your knowledge and go. The fact that, you know, you give it up for your team. That's really what I think. He continually gave it up for his team, and that's the whole thing. That's why he's been so successful. He was always putting it on the line for his team, and along the way, all those individual honors came.
We're speaking with Michael Wagaman. Make sure you follow him. His Twitter handle is @MWagaman. Mike, I want to ask you this. You know, we can talk about the legacy and the imprint that Charles Woodson has left on the NFL for the entire show. I'm sure we can.
Yeah.
But what about the imprint and the legacy that he's going to leave behind for this current Raiders secondary? Who is going to basically, you know, be the guy to get the torch passed to him? And what can we make of this Raiders secondary this coming season? Because we all feel like the Raiders are turning the corner. The secondary has been a little bit questionable throughout the entire season. What can we make of the secondary in 2017?
Well, you know, if you look, without Charles Woodson, there's really, you know, there's a big drop-off in terms of production, in terms of talent level. I think that they've discovered a gem in David Amerson. It's the guy that they picked up off of waivers, of all things, after week
right.
two. That guy has really, really played well, and I think he's kind of secured himself a starting spot heading into 2016. Beyond that, it's a huge question mark, and I'm talking at both safety positions. Nate Allen only played in 6 games, I think, this season. You know, they were expecting a lot more from him, so they don't even know what they have from him. And then the other cornerback position is a big, big question mark. DJ Hayden had a lot of struggles this year. You know, they tried other guys in and out of the lineup. Those guys, you know, sporadic success. If I'm Reggie McKenzie, I'm heading into the offseason, free agency and the draft. I'm getting a corner in free agency. I don't care who it is. You've got to bring in a veteran, somebody to at least push for the job there. And then I'm using at least 1, probably 2, and maybe even 3 picks in the draft.
Wow.
on corners and safeties. Because that's when you look at it, you look at the defense, and give Ken Norton credit. That defense started out the season as a big weakness. And the last month of the season, it's been the strength of the team. The defensive line, with all their injuries and everything, continue to play very, very well. Danico Autry, his emergence, Mario Edwards, his progress as a rookie, very encouraging. I think they need help at linebacker, but I do think that the biggest concern is on the back end of that defense in the secondary. They've got to get help because, you know, Charles leaving, had he been able to stay one more year, that would have given Reggie a little bit more time to kind of build things up back there. But now he's got, in my opinion, he's got three holes to fill. And so it's a big order, but this team is, I think, turning the corner. They need some help, you know, offensively. I wouldn't be surprised to see them maybe bring in another running back to kind of spell Latavius Murray a little bit. But I think that that's the biggest concern. And if I, like I said, if I'm Reggie, I'm focusing all of my attention initially in free agency and the draft on getting some more bodies back there.
Where do you think T.J. Carey fits in that? Because it seemed like he was the guy at the beginning of the year that was kind of taking over that safety hybrid cornerback position. He was the guy that I thought maybe might have been our best defensive player, defensive back for sure. Where do you think he fits in that equation?
I think, you know, TJ still, you know, when you're going back and forth as a young player from position to position, it kind of can get a little confusing at times. And I know there was a play in the Green Bay game where at one point TJ was lined up as a corner when he was supposed to be at safety. And that was a big play. It ended up costing them a first down, a big play late in the game. And that, so I think that TJ still fits in well in this secondary. I think that there's a spot for him, but I like him more as a nickel guy, a guy who I can move in, bring in and move him around, put him in the slot, do other things with, put him on the corner and maybe move, you know, another guy into the slot. His versatility helps, but he's still young. And yeah, I was with you. I thought early in the year, I thought he was, you know, he had turned that corner, but, you know, down towards the middle of the season and maybe this last month, he hasn't played as well as he was earlier in the year. So, you know, again, I think that kind of goes back into what I was talking about. I just think that they really need to bring in a number of bodies. They can't go into the next season with this current group. You know, they've got to bring in people to push them. And, you know, I like TJ. He had a lot on his plate, and I'll give him some leeway there, but, you know, I don't think he's played his best ball as of late as he was earlier in the year. So it'll be interesting to see where they put him. I think he's naturally a corner. You know, he was the one guy who could play both positions, which is why they were able to move him to safety. But I don't think that they had the success that they were hoping for there. So I think that both TJ, DJ, and everybody else in that secondary, with the exception of maybe David Amerson, has to be, you know, at least looking over their shoulder heading into this offseason, knowing that somebody's going to be coming in pushing for their job in 2016.
Yeah, very true. Michael, thank you much for your time, your knowledge, your expertise, and all of the above. Really appreciate you, my brother. Only a few days away from 2016, so if we don't talk to you before then, Happy New Year and blessings to you and the family, man.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure, my pleasure, my honor to talk with you guys. I hope you have a safe and happy New Year's, and I look forward to seeing you guys in 2016.
Amen. Likewise, Mike.
Amen. Have a good one, Michael. Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right, that's Michael Wagaman. Follow him at Twitter, at M. Wagaman. He is a senior writer for the Silver and Black Illustrated, longtime freelance reporter for the Associated Press. So many things that he touched on right there. Of course, we'll touch on that on the other side as well. Right here with the Three Amigos on 95.7 The Game. Welcome back to 95.7 The Game with the Three Amigos, Brandon Santiago, Rudy Ortiz, and yours truly, Big Daddy Zaragoza. I like the music selection right there.
I like that, right?
Shout out going out to my girl, Sheila E.
Attaboy.
I shouldn't say this out loud.
Say it, Vic.
The whole family.
She'll probably kill me if I say this because she's still working on her album.
Okay.
She's going to send me a little song.
Okay.
So if I make the cut, you might just hear it on there.
Sheila
but I'll speak on it later.
But
shout out going out to the Escovedo family.
The whole Escovedo family, man.
Much love going on. Sheila, we love you. You know, Merry Christmas and happy holidays and stuff. So for 2016, I just might, you know.
You get all the good stuff, Vic.
Is Vic making a comeback?
What? No.
Are you going to be on the track, Vic?
I wouldn't say a comeback.
Uh-oh.
But I'll spit a little sun.
Don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback. He ain't ever gone nowhere. You know, he's been here the whole time,
You can
baby.
Check him out on KBLX, morning show.
There you go.
And we're on vacation, as a matter of fact. I'm still on vacation. We won't be back. Mark Curry, who's on in the morning, we can talk about this because it's our sister station. Matter of fact, it's right next door.
Yeah, right next door.
Mark Curry, who's also on in the mornings with Kimmy T and myself, the Morning Dream Team. Kimmy and I will be back on Monday because we've been on vacation all week. Curry will be on vacation all the way till the 4th.
Okay.
And that's when the Dream Team will be all back together and doing
Reunited.
It big. And, you know, so if you like the music, do that. And if, of course, if you want your sports, listen to Flight 95.7.
That a boy.
You know, so ready on 95.7, the game, Flight 95.7. What was I going with this whole thing? You threw me off. Oh, I threw myself off. Michael Wagaman, want to thank him for coming on, senior writer and Silver and Black Illustrated, for the Silver and Black Illustrated, longtime freelance reporter for the Associated Press. In a little bit, if you missed any of the interview, you'll be able to hear the podcast on 95.7thegame.com.
There we go.
All right, so right there. So, you know, a really good question that you brought up, so we can kind of finish up on the Silver and Black, because coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to the happiest place.
The Dubs.
You already know.
Yeah, we're going with the Dubs. And a big shout-out going out to my man Curry. He just won another award, and we'll let you know that he's only the fourth person in 85 years to win this award. So we'll break that down at the top of the hour for you right there. You mentioned T.J. Carey.
Yeah.
You know, Michael was kind of like, you know, we've seen enough, but we haven't seen enough, and he's been kind of there. You know, and Charles Woodson, I don't mean to, you know, talk about the seat when it's not even cold yet, you know, because you haven't, you still got another game to play with us. Who would take in that position? Is TJ Carey? I think that would be pretty solid right there, especially when you got Emerson, who's done a great job at corner. Hayden, you know, it is what it is. You know, and then we also forgot about Keith McGill.
Yeah.
You know, that was somebody, we were talking about this off air, that somebody in preseason that I came back, oh, you're fellas, you ought to see this guy. This guy's unbelievable. Great. Yeah, he's had some injuries and so on. But, you know, we even forgot about that man right there. I mean, can we position him in there? Or was it a one-year deal with him?
No, he's good. No, Keith McGill, we drafted him. Okay. We drafted him. Him and Dexter McDonald, who was a taller cornerback.
I'm thinking TJ Carey as well. So
TJ Carey, yeah, both of those. TJ Carey, Keith McGill, they're all under contract going into next year. I think they're all restricted free agents. And, you know, you also have Dexter McDonald, who was a seventh round draft pick. So you have a lot of length. Yeah. The, for me, I think TJ Carey, I like what he said. He can be that nickel cornerback that can also play safety at times. But I do think you need to upgrade at that strong safety position. Hopefully, Nate Allen, we signed him to be that free safety, ball hawking free safety. And with Philadelphia, I never liked him. I never thought he was a great safety, but he did, you know, he had, I think, 7 interceptions 1 year. So we know we can get his hands on the ball, but we need to upgrade at safety. We have a lot of holes. I wouldn't spend 3 draft picks on cornerbacks or defensive backs. We have to get a linebacker. We probably need maybe one more defensive lineman in that rotation. But yeah, I think TJ Carey can be a good player for the Raiders. He's in the mix. I'll say that.
If Reggie McKenzie doesn't want to spend all, doesn't want to do 3 draft picks on some cornerbacks and some safeties, at least use some valuable draft picks to get, you know, some high-end cornerbacks and some high-end safeties, because I don't want to see the Raiders go through this drought where that secondary keeps getting burnt for years to come while they try to figure it out. There's too much talent on that team, and in my opinion, they are turning the corner, and I don't want to see that be one of the chronic weakness, you know, for the next 3 or 4 years. So, Reggie McKenzie, if you're going to use those draft picks on some defensive backs, make sure there's some high draft picks, get some quality guys. Again, I'm not saying go out and get 3 or 4 of them. I mean, I agree with you, Santi. You don't want to spend too many because there are some other holes that they got to fill in. But get some quality. Try to use some quality picks on some quality defensive backs, because that should not be the weakness for the Raiders for the next 5 years.
So here's the top 3 safeties right now that are free agents next year. You got Eric Weddle up in San Diego.
And
we know
Weddle.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Who's a cerebral player. He's getting up there in age. I think he's going to be 30 years old, and he's taking some hits on his body. You also have Eric Berry, who we know is a great safety in his time.
And as a matter, Eric Weddle was he got injured. Was it a foot or shoulder?
Oh, he did.
He did get injured on Thursday. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, there's another injury he has to
Yeah,
cross
he's had
with
some injury problems. And, you know, we know Eric Berry with the heart issue that he had.
Right.
You know, he missed an entire season.
Yes.
And then you have Tashawn Gibson, who's a good player out of Cleveland. Mm. So those are the 3 top safeties. And next year you have Nico Thorpe, Larry Asante, Tevin McDonald, Dexter McDonald, Keith McGill, and Taylor Mays, who are all restricted free agents or all signed on. So the Raiders have a potential to keep all of those players, and including TJ Carey. So DJ Hayden is a guy who you look who's probably the odd man out there.
Mm. And you know, another man we forgot to mention, and it was Charles Woodson's night. We get it, and we didn't want to take anything away from that. But what about Latavius Murray hitting 1,000 yards?
Right. There it is.
You know, so I was like, oh, wow, congratulations. All right, Charles, let's go.
Yeah, right.
You know, because it was a Charles Woodson
117
night.
117 yards one night.
Quietly, just quietly doing it.
Yeah, he hit 1,000 yards. So congratulations to the A-Train.
We haven't had that since
L-Train,
what,
Vic?
L-Train,
not the A-Train.
Since 2010, right?
Something like that, yeah.
There you go.
They're still looking around, and the feeling is still like, hey, we should bring in another running back.
Just to
back him up. I mean, because the question of depth was there from the beginning of the season. Everybody thought it was going to be like a stable of running backs doing this. It ended up just being Latavius. He was questionable throughout some parts of the season. People were saying, is he really the go-to guy? But definitely go in there and add some depth to that running back roster.
And also, real quick, congratulations to the all-star, to the Pro Bowlers.
To
Khalil Mack, first year in. Congratulations to him. Reese, I don't know where that came from, but I guess
Marcel Reese.
But I got to give him props.
He just keeps getting them.
But I mean, hey,
he's his fifth now, right?
Something like that. I mean, so congratulations. And then Charles Woodson, very well deserved.
Earned it. That's not an honor. That is not like, you know, you because you're a swan song. He earned that.
Five interceptions from a 39-year-old.
He earned that right there. Fourth NBA player in 85 years to win this award. We already told you who. Curry. But who else is also?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.